This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
On the Breakfast Grill today, James Lim, Southeast Asia Head of Products for Visa. We're going to be talking about credit cards and debit cards and other forms of plastic and consumer spending. James, good morning. You would have a bird's eye view of consumer behavior. What is the consumer sentiment as far as spending is concerned that's going around in Southeast Asia today?
Good morning to you. So I would say that, you know, if you look at the various press releases across Southeast Asia, one would have seen that there is a general slowdown, but I think that the spending on the various electronic payments has been fantastic. The reason why people are still continuing to spend on cards is because of the convenience, the security, and also the more places that they can be using the cards. Visa, we want to make sure that the way that we introduce the products to the markets that actually meets the consumer's needs, i.e., when they want to use it everywhere that they want it, we are there. And also, too, whether it's online or in the physical world, the intent is to make sure that it's convenient and safe and secure for our end consumer.
I guess people are quite worried right now about where the global and regional economies are going. And in fact, a lot of countries have a policy to boost consumption as a form of taking over from investment spending as an engine of growth. So I'm just wondering if, given your vantage point, could you tell us, give us some general numbers about what your growth numbers are?
You would read it because we'll be announcing our earnings in terms of our growth in the global and to a specific that, you know, my corporate communications can release some information to you. Mm-hmm. But generally, we're seeing positive growth. A chicken and egg thing. The general economy growth is made up of four components, right? Consumers' expenditures, investments, government expenditures, and net exports.
Okay. Would you say that your growth numbers are overtaking general headline economic GDP numbers?
Yes, I would say generally. I think we are just one form of payments. Cash is the biggest pie where there are still a lot of people transacting in cash. We essentially converting a lot of cash payments to what we call cashless payment, either in the physical world or in the online space. So the opportunity to convert cash is still huge. Globally, if you look at the PCE penetrations, there's still $14 trillion US dollars still on cash. So there's huge opportunity in there to move that into what we call electronic payments.
So would you say that a lot of the strong growth that you mentioned, is that coming from actual spending or greater adoption of credit cards or debit cards, i.e. a transfer from spending on cash previously to now using the card system?
Yes, I would say that's the biggest pie and that's the opportunity. The consumers are adopting more electronic payment, i.e. it can be a credit, it can be a debit, it can be also corporate commercial spending. More and more people are becoming more savvy. Carrying large stacks of cash to transact is not necessarily the easiest and the most convenient, and it's probably not safe if you lose cash. So having a physical card, whether it's in a wallet or in a digital means, provides a lot more security for our end consumer. So the ability to transact electronically gives the added advantage.
James Lim, Southeast Asia Head of Products for Visa, is on The Breakfast Grill this morning, and we're talking about trends in consumption spending. James, Visa, of course, came out with the affluence survey of 2015. I'm just wondering, I'm very fascinated with the title. Is that an area that Visa is having its main focus on, which is the affluent?
I would not say that that's the only area that we focus. We basically work with our clients to understand the various persona in each of the markets. We basically look at segment. I would say affluent will be a segment that, you know, there is a general trend that more and more consumers are moving towards that area. But having said that, millennium in itself is growing, is coming, a lot of people are coming to the workforce. We need to start introducing them the various opportunities to transact. Having said that, there is also in Malaysia, for example, there is a large population of Islamic community. We are making a lot of efforts in there, understanding the consumer, what do they want, what are their preferences, and how do we make sure their needs are being met by introducing the various platforms so that the consumers can enjoy the benefits of having the electronic payment with them.
Now, as you mentioned earlier, a lot of traction has been gained from the substitution effect of people using less cash and more plastic. But you have some, Visa has some surprising market share numbers. The dollar value of Visa's market share is only 15% in Asia Pacific, whereas Union Pay is the biggest with 75% market share. But in terms of the number of transactions, it's the other way around. Visa has almost 60% and UP has about 10%. Am I right to say that Visa has a focus on a smaller transaction dollar amount?
I can't comment on those numbers. I have no visibility on those numbers. But the general trend in terms of transactions, our aims or our goals are fairly simple. We want to make sure that when consumer wants to use the product, we want to make sure that it's safe, secure, and sound. We want to make sure that the transaction is convenient. Speed is critical. So when consumers do more transaction with Visa, one of the key reasons I think is probably that we have met what they wanted. As opposed to, you know, where, you know, why, you know, whether our transactions are smaller or bigger, I can't, you know, explain because it's consumer's choice. I think more and more people are transacting with Visa because, you know, with smaller ticket items, because we're opening up more acceptance network in what we call QSR, quick service restaurants, where the ease and convenience of having to tap a card rather than having to swipe or dip the cards, the speed is critical.
But what is the strategy that Visa is taking to differentiate itself? Are all credit cards the same?
I wouldn't say all credit cards are the same. The means of using it is the same. Whether you dip the card, you swipe the card, or you tap the card, or in the future, you know, the ability to using mobile phone to do a transaction, either, you know, the various form factors coming to the markets are similar. The channel of using it is also similar. What I think differentiates each of the products is the cardholders' value propositions that our clients, mainly the banks, put on to ensure they entice what the end consumer wants.
So I'm wondering what those value propositions are, given that there are clearly leaders in the credit card or debit card market. I mean, the leaders are Visa and MasterCard, with Visa edging out MasterCard a little bit in terms of market share. But, you know, the clear laggers are some of the other traditional charge cards. So what are those differentiating factors?
So I, from our perspective, I think the most critical is what does the consumer want? What are their needs? And we find solutions to meet what they need. For example, consumer hate staying in queue. So the ease of introducing PayWave where they can tap and go. And we also see that there is a huge movement from what I call in the physical world to what we call online. So we introduce checkout in various markets instead of, you know, having to input a lot of information into the landing page. We introduce checkout, which is one click, and you can do the transaction fairly simple. And if you look at what is happening in the physical world, there is a lot of people moving from the physical desktop computer into mobile phone to do transaction. So more and more such emergence are coming up. And we just need to make sure that the consumer's needs are being met with the various solutions that we're introducing to the market.
James Lim, Southeast Asia Head of Products for Visa, is on the Breakfast Grill this morning, and we're talking about trends in credit card and debit card spending. Up next, a look into credit card fees as well as the emergence of fintech. This morning on the Breakfast Grill is James Lim, Head of Products for Southeast Asia for Visa. James, just looking at the situation in Asia Pacific right now, with a total global market share for credit card spending of just under 30%, whereas the bulk of the spending is still driven by what happens in the United States, with more than half of credit card spending coming from the United States. How will the China slowdown change things in terms of Asia-Pacific credit card growth?
I'm not so sure I have that information on the general slowdown, but you know, we are still seeing that China is still showing positive growth. You know, the trends of where people are, there is a significant circular shift from cash to card payment. So I don't think that's going to slow down, because there's still a lot of people are transacting in cash. So the movement from cash to, you know, electronic payment is increasing with more acceptance footprint. People are opening up more acceptance to accept cards because the need to, you know, the need for consumer to have the ease and convenience of transacting is critical. Merchants, from their perspective, do not want to carry a lot of cash. Consumer doesn't like to carry a lot of cash, especially buying large ticket items. So the ease of having a physical card or a wallet where they can transact without carrying huge chunk of cash is critical. So we're seeing a lot of movement from cash to electronic payments, whether it's in a physical world or electronic on the online space. So if you look at what's happening in the e-commerce space, you don't actually have to travel overseas to transact. So if I want to buy something that may not be available, whether it's in Malaysia or Singapore, I can go online and search, and I can transact, and then the goods will be delivered to my place. And all these are made possible through what we call electronic commerce.
Now, of course, many Asians still love using cash. What are your challenges to change that kind of mindset?
I agree that, you know, it's something that is habitual. It will take time. Our clients, mainly the banks, are constantly educating our consumers, whether, you know, linking a debit card to their CASA account, extending credit for consumers to use. This trend, we're seeing a huge change.
You know, recently Uber in Malaysia has just opened up the facility to use cash payments when it used to be a credit card only service. Do you think this is a bad omen?
I wouldn't say it's a bad omen. I can't comment on Uber's strategic directions on why they want to accept cash.
But don't you think that is a reflection that Uber wants to respond to the marketplace because a lot of people still want to use cash, and there is that someone inexplicable distrust about using credit card? Would you say that's fair?
I'm not in a position to comment on Uber's strategic directions on why they, you know, introduce cash. All I can say that, you know, we're seeing a strong growth, especially in Singapore, where we are seeing more than 700 Visa transactions making taxi booking through third-party apps.
Now, I was really surprised to learn that the margins for the credit card business is really razor thin, because out of the 1.5% or thereabout charged for credit card fees, 1% is taken by the card issuing bank. Another 0.3% is taken up by the bank that offers the terminal. And the credit card company only takes 0.1%. Would you like to see the way in which the pie is being cut and have a bigger claim on the revenue?
So I don't want to comment on the business, you know, decision on why certain things are done certain way. Certainly, this ecosystem has existed for more than 60 years, and it is how we have operated. Our clients like it. The merchants like it, and that's how the whole ecosystem will function.
Really? Do you think the merchants like it because this really represents a cost to them because the fees that are being paid are around 1.5%, although I gather from Bank Negara that this is on its way down through the efforts, but still you can't deny the inflationary effects of merchant fees.
So I can't comment on fees, basically, but, you know, it's equally costly to handle cash.
You're right.
For that matter.
You're right.
So I think that the in order for a business to sustain, I think the ecosystem has been successful in terms of converting cash into electronic payments.
So, I mean, just looking at your revenues breakdown as well, just by way of explainers, what is the difference in the revenue streams you have, service revenues as well as data processing revenues?
So, like I said, these are proprietary and confidential information. I'm not in a position to, you know, to disclose.
That's fair enough.
Since that we have.
That's fair enough. Since you're in charge of products, let's move the discussion back into products. I just want to look into e-commerce, where global e-commerce sales exceeded 1 trillion. Asia Pacific is about one third of that. You mentioned some of the factors where Visa is well placed to exploit this growth in e-commerce, but there are also some challenges in terms of security checks and fraud prevention. Do you think this is a great impediment to greater credit card usage in e-commerce?
Certainly, with Visa introducing checkouts in numerous markets, the latest launch in Malaysia, we're seeing a lot of adoption in terms of consumers subscribing to this service. Consumers want the ease and convenience. In order for them to transact on e-commerce, they probably need some form of mode of payment. So cash or delivery is what traditionally have been happening, but it's also resulting in a lot of abandonments. But when you have something that facilitates in an electronic means where payments are being secure, we see more take-up rates.
This morning on The Grill is James Lim, Southeast Asia Head of Products for Visa. James, fintech is, or financial technology is a hot area that is being discussed right now. How do you think they will challenge the position of credit cards? Some people actually think that certainly the position of the banks are under threat.
I don't think that they are a competitor. I view them more as a business partner. We have recently introduced what we call Visa Developer Platforms, where we are opening up APIs, right, application programming interface, where this third party or strategic partners like fintech company can come in to start using our APIs and to leverage on building and expanding the pies. At the end of it, we are trying to facilitate to ensure that the consumer's ease, convenience, securities are being met.
What do you think is the thing that is the factors that are stopping the disruption? I mean, that we're seeing in other areas. I mean, long ago, we've seen PayPal, who have also come up with a credit card. And if I look at an image of a PayPal credit card, it has also got Visa there. So they're working with you guys. But, you know, there are other things, other developments like P2P payments. And I guess it wouldn't be long when we see alternative payments where consumers can transfer money quite easily to merchants for almost next to nothing.
Exactly. I've mentioned earlier, there is a lot of commerce happening everywhere, whether it's by cash, by digital means. The pie itself is very big. And all the various institutions that you mentioned, whether it's fintech company, whether it's other modes of payments, everybody is looking at this as an opportunity. Some of it are needs that are not met by the various, you know, stakeholders, especially when cardholders are looking at how do I facilitate a remittance P2P payments. So what we're trying to do is to make sure that we understand what consumer wants, how do we provide the solutions so that the consumer's needs are being met. So when you mention about P2P payments, that is a facility or that's a platform that already exists with Visa. And we're working very closely with our clients to ensure that you know, this can be done and how do we integrate into their banking system.
Is this costly to implement for the merchants or the consumers?
Cost is a very relative term, right? It can be costly to one, it may not be to another. What we're trying to do is to make sure that we roll this out to make sure that there is a demand by the consumer and we can facilitate that in a seamless way.
Now, you were earlier talking about the Wave technology as well as mobile payments, I suppose. And there was a research, a mobile payment readiness index done by, I guess, your competitor, MasterCard. But if you allow me to quote the index, Singapore is very ready for mobile payments, whereas Malaysia is not really. Is Visa making a big move into mobile payments? And how does this challenge the future growth of mobile?
You know, I can't comment on statistics that, you know, other people have. What I can say is there is a circular shift towards the ease and convenience. Everybody has a physical or whether a handset with smartphone ability. You are right that, you know, there is a lot of movement in the mobile space. You probably see that there was an announcement by Apple 2 days ago that, you know, they're launching in Singapore. So the reason why I think that Singapore is ready for it, because, you know, the ability to be able to tap the mobile facilities with what we call a pay, i.e. a PayWave transactions, is already entrenched in this market. For example, in Singapore, for every 100 transactions, where more than 35% of those transactions are PayWave.
And what do you think is challenging the adoption on the Malaysia side? Is it the consumers? Is it the merchants, the bank, or even the phone developer?
I would say that, you know, it's a challenge for everybody because this is something new that's in the market. So everybody is looking at, you know, how can we enhance the service so that it becomes seamless from consumer. The adoption from the consumer, it's there. Everybody wants to use it because it's convenient. And the reason why I guess the various stakeholders introduce these products into the market is because of consumers' push.
Now, of course, in spite of the great strides that Bank Negara has in reducing the use of cash in Malaysia, I think generally the perception is that there is still a healthy amount of distrust for credit cards and online payments in Malaysia. Do they have a reason to do so?
I don't know why there is a distrust, but basically we're making sure that every transaction that flows through the Visa network, we need to make sure that it's, you know, authenticated. We want to make sure that its speed is critical, and we want to make sure that especially online that, you know, consumers doesn't get abandoned. There are many reasons why, you know, that a transaction gets truncated. Maybe the Wi-Fi is not strong enough. Maybe, you know, the site itself is under maintenance. So I don't know what's the cause of the real, these are real problems that we have to solve as an industry. But, you know, I won't call it a distrust, but there may be other reasons why, you know, the transaction won't go through. So the ability to have all this, right? And that's the reason why we introduced checkout, so that, you know, people don't have to spend too much time inputting information. With one click, we're able to flow that transaction fairly, very, very quickly.
What is the incidence of fraud in Visa?
I would say that, you know, our fraud rates are very, very low. We constantly work with our issuers, with our acquirers to ensure that that this is kept on check all the time.
Thank you so much for your time. That was James Lim, Southeast Asia Head of Products for Visa. And by the way, James Lim is a featured speaker in the Global Islamic Finance Forum happening on the 10th to 12th of May, organized by the Association of Islamic Banking Institutions of Malaysia. I'm Julian Ng for The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.